At the Movies with CJ Johnson.
CJ, good evening. Welcome to Nightlife.
Good evening, Philip. Thank you very, very much.
Okay, a couple of movies. We've got Tennis, Borg McEnroe, and The Teacher. Borg McEnroe. So, there's a bit of a tennis theme going on at the moment with the Battle of the Sexes. Battle of the Sexes movie, and now this one. This is the story of the rivalry between Bjorn Borg, the great Swedish player, and the more volatile American John McEnroe.
Yes, yes, indeed. And you're right, there is this sort of strange thing. I mean, how often do we get two relatively high-profile tennis movies at the cinemas in one year? Never.
Never.
Never is the answer to that question. No, more likely to get two movies about chess, and I'm actually not joking. So yeah, Battle of the Sexes only came out in Australia at least about a month and a half ago, 2 months ago. And that, as you said, was about Billie Jean King versus Bobby Riggs. And it was about both of them, and it led up to their match. And it was very sort of upbeat and colourful in tone and full of period detail, the 70s. And along comes this one, Borg McEnroe. And in many ways, it is very similar. And in many ways, it is markedly different. So the way that it is similar is that it's actually very much centred towards a match. Mm-hmm. This is not really about the entire... Well, it's not about the entire McEnroe-Borg thing, because that spread over a couple of Wimbledons. This is about leading up to the first time they played each other at a particular Wimbledon, and in particular, the 1980 men's final match between those two men, Bjorn Borg and John McEnroe. Did you watch that match? Were you watching tennis at the time?
I was absolutely gripped by it. I think the world was at the time. Yeah. The rivalry between Borg and McEnroe was a huge sporting event at the time.
Yeah. I watched that match. I was a kid, but my mother and her best friend avidly watched Wimbledon. We lived in London at the time, so you couldn't escape it. It was a thing. And I remember us watching it of an afternoon, and yes, you're right. It was such a huge thing. And Bjorn Borg was a hero of mine already, because I'd seen him win some other Wimbledons. You know, this was he was going for his fifth, which would mean that he would become... he would enter the history books, as they keep saying in the film, because no one had done that before, won five, and certainly not consecutive. And also, he was the youngest when he won it. And, you know, he would smash all these records. And, of course, McEnroe had rapidly risen up and was just proving to be this incredible, obvious talent. So Borg was frightened of him. And it culminated in this match. And I would suggest that if Battle of the Sexes is about one of the most famous and sort of media circusy tennis matches of all time, this is actually about probably the greatest tennis match of all time, because of the two people involved, because of the expectation, and then because of the match itself. Because, well, I won't say anything about the match, but something happened two-thirds of the way through that match that is just the most tense thing ever, unprecedented in Wimbledon, and just so tense. It was just such a tense match, and therefore a great match. So this film follows basically the year in both men's life leading up to that match, and even more specifically a couple of months leading up to that match. It has flashbacks in both men's lives to their growing up, so childhood, teenage years, and their development as tennis players. It's weighted in favour of Borg, whereas the other film was 50-50, Billie Jean and Bobby Riggs. Mm-hmm. This is very much 70-30 Borg. And it has a much, 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 much more ambitious vein in it to go into the psychology of the kind of people who try and win at elite level sports. Mm-hmm. So whereas the other one is kind of upbeat and fun, this is not really. This is a somber movie about what it takes to really want to win at the absolute highest level of sports. And it kind of draws the conclusion that to want to do so, there's kind of something, if not wrong with you, then very, very different with you than other people, because these men are not happy if they're not winning. Mm. That's the only thing in life that gives them joy. And when they don't win, if they lose, they're just not disappointed. They are really, really, really down in the dumps. Yeah. And it's not I would not wish it upon myself or my daughter, you know. It's not a fun thing to live with, this desire to win, because it's overwhelming.
The trouble is, if you didn't have it, you can't succeed at that level.
No, exactly. Mm. You can't.
As they see it.
Yes. Yeah. And only people with it do succeed, I think. I think it's a kind of natural thing. You know, elite sports people are elite sports people, just like elite artists, probably. Mm. Anyway, so we all have this conception of the two of them as being monumentally different people. And that was all played up, and that's part of the reason we love that match, because we all were told that Borg was the ice cool guy, the ice Borg, and McEnroe was temperamental and rude and outrageous and disrespectful and, you know, always yelled at the umpire, and Borg never broke a sweat and he never said a thing. And this film busts that myth by going into their backgrounds.
Oh, okay.
And I won't say how it busts the myth, but it busts the myth, and in doing so...
So it purports to be a truthful record, does it?
Oh, very much so. Right. Oh, very much so. In fact, the director of this film, way back in 1996, his very first professional directing credit in 1996 was an episode of a TV documentary series called Clash of the Titans, and his episode was Borg versus McEnroe.
Okay.
So he has been living with and stewing on this material and assumedly wanting to make this movie since 1996.
Yep.
Yeah. His casting is impeccable. The third major character after the two tennis players is Borg's coach, and he is played by Stellan Skarsgård, and he is fundamental to the story because essentially the way Borg is coached is kind of what the movie's really about, how Borg became Borg. But the two players who play Borg and McEnroe, Borg is played by a Swedish actor named Sverre Gudnason. He's very good, and he looks so much like Borg, but it's obviously the less flashy role because, as we all know, by the time he was an adult, Borg was the ice Borg.
Yeah.
The flashy role is obviously John McEnroe, and in a masterstroke of casting, bad boy of Hollywood, Shia LaBeouf plays John McEnroe. And Shia LaBeouf is kind of despised for being arrogant and a loudmouth and annoying anyway. So his casting as John McEnroe, and he's very, very good in the role, works both dramatically and on a meta level as well. And lest we forget the match itself, I would say the match itself is given about 40 minutes of screen time at the end, and it is gripping. And even though I knew
how do they do that? They don't use footage, do they?
No, they don't use footage. With the other one, with Battle of the Sexes, which had a bigger budget, what they did was those two actors, Emma Stone and Steve Carell, learned how to do the moves, like run around on the court precisely, and then they put in computer-generated imagery, they put in the ball.
Okay.
That's how they did that one. This one, I don't think they had nearly the budget to do that, so instead... it's just very clever cutting between the two actors doing it.
So they don't actually ever hit a brilliant shot. Well, they don't actually...
They might hit it and it might zim past the camera and then you cut to the other guy missing it. But, you know, they can't have them both in a two-shot playing tennis. That's what you don't get in this one.
Because they can't play tennis.
That you did in the Hollywood one, yeah. But it's very... The match is nonetheless exciting for it. It's very exciting, very tense. And as I say, I remember the result and yet I was absolutely sweating bullets on the result in this match. I was back there watching it like I was six again.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
All right, Borg McEnroe. This is a little from the movie.
Listen to those jeers. I can't remember a single Wimbledon match where the crowd has made this much noise.
Excuse me?
It wasn't on this side of the line, Mr.
McEnroe. How? The ball? The chalk flew up.
The ball has been ruled out.
Excuse me?
It was a good call. It was a bit of a scramble.
You can't be serious. You cannot be serious. The ball was on the line. Chalk flew up all over, man. The chalk flew up. He saw it. That's why he's walking all over it. Everyone saw it was in. You cannot possibly call that out.
I'm going to issue you a warning for unsportsmanlike behavior, Mr. McEnroe.
Borg's not playing any great tennis, but it's enough to beat the unseeded American Gottfried.
Jon, congratulations on reaching the final. So it's either Jimmy Connors or John McEnroe that awaits you now. How do you respond to McEnroe's comment from before the tournament that Borg the machine will soon break down?
I'm just like anybody else. I'm not a machine.
Takes you right
you
back,
can't
doesn't
be
it?
Serious.
Can you imagine if that match and those players, particularly McEnroe, had risen in the age of Twitter?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh, the non-stop stuff we'd get.
That is true. All right, Borg McEnroe. Now, the teacher, what's all this?
Okay, so in 1983, in Bratislava, pardon me, which was the capital of the Slovak Socialist Republic.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a school, and I guess the kids in the class we're in are about, I don't know, in their mid-teens, maybe 14, 15, and they get a new teacher, and she's super corrupt. And the first thing she does, and none of this is spoiling, this is in the first scene. The first thing she does is she finds out what all the kids' parents do, and then she starts manipulating all of their parents to do services for her in exchange for their kids having an easier passage at school.
Oh.
So she finds out that Timmy's dad, well, then he's not called Timmy because he's in Bratislava, but she finds out Timmy's dad is a refrigerator repairman. So she gets him over to come fine tune her fridge, and Timmy's C goes to a B, this kind of thing.
Oh, I see.
So it is a wonderful microcosm slash metaphor for the corruption throughout Slovakia and Eastern Europe in the early 80s.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never heavy-handed about that. It just is. You know, it's obvious, you know, what everyone stands for and what's going on. This becomes apparent pretty quickly that she is doing this sort of stuff. So the real dramatic tension in the film is how people respond. Mm-hmm. And once again, you're sort of looking metaphorically at how did people respond to rampant corruption and et cetera, that was going on in their communities in Eastern Europe at the time under the guise of communism. And how quickly did people conspire to flip their ideals over into unethical practice or corrupt practice of their own if it would help them? And so there are big issues going on. And bizarrely enough, despite the distance, despite that it's set in, you know, Slovak Socialist Republic in 1983, what's kind of going on in Hollywood at the moment with the sort of accusations flying and people this, that, and the other and everything, which we don't need to get into now, that kind of resonates with what this film is about in terms of people are willing to look the other way as long as it suits them, but are willing to stand up when confronted this, that, and the other. So it's really quite interesting. It sounds a little dreary. It's not. It's actually quite funny. I think if you were Czechoslovakian, you would see it as a satire or even a black comedy rather than as a drama, and you certainly wouldn't see it as a thriller. And the further we get away from, you know, that being part of your own history, the less it seems like satire, I guess, and the more it seems like a drama. But it's definitely intended to have a satirical bite. And the lead performance by a woman named Zuzana Mowry as the teacher is impeccable. And sometimes you see a film, you know, a foreign film from a place like Czechoslovakia, and you're seeing an actor, a great actor in mid-career that you've never seen before, and they just blow you away. And mm-hmm. that's the experience you get watching this, because she is just fantastic.
Okay. The teacher. All right, some stars, Borg McEnroe.
It's very, very somber. So even though it's very exciting and full of nostalgia, I can really only give it 3 out of 5.
Okay, and the teacher?
The same.
Okay. Yep. Anyway, it's good, solid offerings.
Yeah, they're both good.
All right, terrific. Thanks, CJ.
Thank you.
You've been listening to a Nightlife podcast. For more great conversations about the issues that impact you, as well as features on travel and food, head to the Nightlife webpage. You'll find it at abc.net.au/nightlife. You don't need to be a night owl to enjoy the nightlife.